presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies, and today I'm speaking with longtime guitarist for the fabulous Thunderbirds, and one-third of the guitarist with the guitar supergroup, the Texas Headhunters, Johnny Moeller. In our conversation, Johnny talks about moving to New Orleans and his tour schedule with the Thunderbirds, as well as how the Texas Headhunters came about. Johnny tells us about his history with the Thunderbirds before he joined and how he ended up in the band and what he'd been doing up to that point. Johnny discusses his guitars of choice and the backline amps he's forced to use on the road and his amps that he has at home. Johnny takes us through his musical upbringing and when he met his Headhunter brothers. To find out more about Johnny, you can go to the Thunderbirds website, fabulousthunderbirds.com. That's FABULOUSTHUNDERBIRDS.com. Or for the Texas Headhunters, you can go to their website, TXHH.live. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for a guitar player. Here's my friend Johnny.
How you doing there, James?
I'm doing good. Well, how's everything going out there?
Going great.
You're in Texas?
I'm actually in New Orleans right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What are you doing in New Orleans?
I moved here about a year ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
So I've been in Austin forever, since like the mid-80s.
Where did you grow up?
Denton, like north of Dallas.
Okay.
I was born in Fort Worth, raised around Denton.
Uh-huh.
And then my dad lived in Austin when I was just got out of high school.
Okay.
Could start driving, and we'd drive down there, and then I moved to Austin.
Okay. All right.
As soon as I was out of high school.
Yeah. And are you gigging in New Orleans?
A little bit. I'm never here, really.
Oh.
So I'm here this week. I just got home 2 days ago.
Okay. Is that because...
So I'm here, and then I leave again a week from... I guess I leave Tuesday again. So.
Okay. And is that because the T-Birds have such a heavy schedule, touring schedule?
Yeah. It's been pretty busy.
Yeah.
So
good for you, I think.
Yeah. That's a good problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how'd you get hooked up with the Texas Headhunters?
Well, you know, I've known Ian and Jesse forever, you know, since we were all growing up around Austin,
mm-hmm.
kind of bumping into each other in the same circles and hanging out at the Continental Club, Antones, all those places.
Yeah.
And so I've known those guys forever, you know, going back growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, Jesse goes, man, we got to get together, me, you, and Ian, throw some tunes around, just see what happens. I think it'd be fun. And so we went into a buddy of mine's studio and did two or three songs. And it was easy. It was like really fun. And and everyone really complimented each other really well. And you know, then we were also busy, but Jesse kept circling back around going, man, we got to get back in there. Let's go do a couple more. And
yeah.
Then finally we kind of shopped it around and got a record deal to do it, and so we just set a date. He's like, man, let's just go set a date and get in the studio. We went to Paranava's studio, Willie Nelson's studio outside of Austin.
And
we were just there for like 4 or 5 days and we were done. So
right on. And it sounds great. It's fantastic. So did you bring songs in?
I did. Yeah. We each pretty much brought 3 or 4 songs each.
Okay.
And we got together, you know, little pre-production night at Jesse's house and kind of threw the ideas around and man, they all just kind of snapped together real easy like and did it.
Yeah, right on. And how's the humidity in New Orleans right now?
Right now it is hot. I just took a walk and I was like, okay, I'm back in the AC.
Do you have to like go in the AC just to survive?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, last week before I left, the AC here went out for a couple of days, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
When you took off, where did you go? Where was the tour taking you?
It was great. Everything was hot. We went to Phoenix.
Okay.
And then we had some shows in New Mexico.
Okay.
And then back to Austin, and then back here.
Yeah.
And then I leave again. We go to California for a week.
Yeah.
Next week. So that'll be nice.
Yeah. What part of California?
Southern. We start in Southern, like all the way down, you know, down the belly up and Solana Beach, and then all the way up to Northern California to Napa. So.
Oh, really? Where are you playing in Napa?
The Blue Note.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's literally down the street from my house.
Oh, that's where you're at.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta come.
I'll come. I'm coming.
I'll text you the info. Okay. What date and all, but.
Yeah. Right on.
Fantastic. That'd be great.
Yeah, of course. When did you get the gig with the T-Birds?
2007. I've been there almost 20 years.
Wow. Wow. are you the longest lasting guitar player?
I might be. I think Jimmy, is the guy, obviously. I mean, they started the band in 74. I think he left in 89.
Okay.
So.
You've been in longer.
Yeah, I think I got MVP. Wow. That's all I set out to do now. It's funny. I grew up being a big T-Bird fan. My mom took us to see the T-Birds open for Stevie.
Uh-huh.
And, back in, 85, 84.
Uh-huh.
And I'd met Kim a few times, once I started hanging around Austin.
Uh-huh.
And I'd seen him at Anton's one night in passing, and he goes, "Hey, man, I might need you. Give me your number." And I didn't hear anything about it for it was kind of like, okay, whatever, that ain't going to happen. And all of a sudden they called and they go, "Hey," and this is when they had Kid Ramos on guitar.
Okay.
He's a good buddy of mine. And his wife was pregnant. And so they go, "Man, his wife went into labor. Can you fly out tonight?" And so I flew out and I did two shows with him, filling in for him. That was the first time. That was in the 90s.
Yeah. Did you know the tunes? Did you know their whole catalog?
I knew a lot of them, yeah. And I think I'd learned the ones they gave me a list, I didn't know. And I was pretty ready. And
good.
So I did that. And then years later, my brother was playing drums in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over at his house, and they had a gig come up, last minute thing. And Nick Curran was playing with them then, and he couldn't. He'd already had something booked, and so he goes, "I happened to be at my brother's house." He goes, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" I was like, "Nothing." He's like, "Man, you want to go to Vegas?" And I was like, "Yeah." So
right on.
I pretty much started right around that time, 07.
Uh-huh. And does Kim run a pretty tight ship?
Yeah. Yeah, if it were left up to him, he'd just play all his favorite blues songs all night. Uh-huh. So it kind of keeps you on your toes. You got to have that game going.
Yeah.
But then you got to be ready. They got more the rock and roll hit tunes and, soul tune. He might throw in some soul tune or anything. You never know. So, so you got to be ready.
Yeah, of course. And up to that point, were you gigging with your brother?
Yeah, I was playing with my brother. I was playing with Lou Ann Barton, around Austin.
Uh-huh.
Touring with her a little bit. I got 5 different bands, but, uh-huh. Around Austin, I played this guy Barfield. He's a good buddy of mine. We play every Thursday at the Continental.
Oh, right on.
For years. I think for the last 20 years, too. So.
Yeah. Wow, right on.
Yeah, playing with my brother, doing that, Blue Ann, you know.
And is the Strat your weapon of choice, or do you have other?
Sometimes it is.
Okay.
It was early on, and then I didn't play one forever. And I've been playing one lately. I kind of rekindled my love affair with the Strat.
Uh-huh.
But I got all kinds of weird things. This guy also in Austin named Burley. I got a couple of things that are really a telly, but it's in a Firebird.
Oh, sure. The Telebird, yeah. Well, that is a Firebird right there.
But it's got a Tele neck and Tele. Oh, it's got P90s. This one, but the other one's got Tele pickup.
Okay,
but I got that, and I got a couple Teles. I got a Les Paul Special.
Oh, right on.
Reissue.
Yeah.
P90s. So they all make you kind of play different. So
sure.
You play a Strat for a while and you've got that thing going, and then you go, "Man, I miss a Les Paul."
Oh yeah, yeah. And what kind of amps are you using?
They're always weird. On the road, we get Backline, mm-hmm. Super Reverbs, Hot Rod DeVille, Hot Rod whatever, Hot Rod Deluxe. Or,
yeah.
But I got an Ampeg Gemini 3.
Sure. Yeah, those are good amps.
Yeah. And I got a weird It's called a Bronson.
Sure.
Yeah, you've seen those.
Yeah.
I scored that with the matching lap steel a couple years ago.
Right on.
And, you know, we finished the Headhunters record, and Steve Shady, the engineer, goes, man, we forgot. I was already back home here. And he goes, man, Ian wanted you to play the fills and the lead at the end of his song Independence Day on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that here on the Bronson. You know, my studio, man, I was like, wow, I should have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have a studio at home?
Yep. Got a little mini studio here, you know.
Yeah. Are you doing sessions out of there?
No, not really. Just my own overdubs. And
yeah, yeah. Still, yeah. That's cool.
Right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah. It looks cool. It actually physically looks like it's not sweltering hot.
Yeah, it's not up here. It's upstairs.
Okay.
You know, here, and got my own little room up here with all my stuff, so it's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So when did you start playing guitar?
When I was about 13, 14.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. My parents were, you know, split up and get back together. And
okay.
Blah, blah, blah. My dad had moved to Kansas City for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved back up there for 1 year. And he ran around with all his buddies, and he had a guy that was a guitar player in a blues band.
Okay.
And I just started to play guitar. I'm into, like, you know, Led Zeppelin and all that, you know, stuff. Yeah. You know, the first concert I went to, by the way, was that year in Kansas City. I saw Ozzy.
Oh, right on.
With Motley Crue opening.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was during this time, you know, when I was 12, yeah. 1982. And but anyway, this guitar player, I was really into guitar, and my dad would show up and go, you guys need a haircut. So we'd go to, and this guy was a barber,
uh-huh.
buddy of his. And so we're talking about music, and, you know, I go, yeah. And he's like, what do you think about blues? And I go, oh, Stevie Ray Vaughan's cool. You know, I've heard him. And he goes, you ought to hear the Thunderbirds. That's his brother, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. And so somehow it lined up. My dad took me to a bar where that guy was playing. And I remember just going, whoa, this is cool. Like, I didn't know it was loud and rocking. And I was like, oh, man. Okay, I'm a blues guy. You know?
Who was playing guitar for Ozzy when you saw him? Was it Brad Gillis?
No, it was Jake E. Lee.
Okay. All right.
It was right at that Bark at the Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Was about to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never forget. I had my concert T-shirt, and someone stole it. It was like, it was in like the Kansas City Municipal Auditorium, and I remember a guy ran up and stole my shirt.
Oh,
like,
no.
Ran by, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
But, yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And so when you discovered the Fabulous Thunderbirds, were you like, did you dig back and, like, find out all the old blues guys?
I did. And, you know, my dad had a bunch of those kind of records. Like, okay. He had, like, my dad grew up in Fort Worth, and that kind of stuff was real popular in the 60s.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, Slim Harpo, Jimmy Reed.
Yeah.
My dad had all these. I remember he had that, you know, Scratch My Back record,
mm-hmm.
45, and had a bunch of Jimmy Reed records, like the, you know, really big, thick vinyl.
Yeah.
And so we started digging through all those and digging back. And I'm going, and the T-Birds were the perfect, like, oh, wow, this is really where this is, that's where they're getting this from, you know? And, of course, he had, like, Stones records and Kinks and all that, too, so I liked all that, too, and I could really get the correlation on those two also, you know?
Yeah. When was your first band?
So then we left Kansas City and moved back to Denton with my mom, and I met my buddy Paul Size, who was a guitar player in that band, the Red Devils, you know, later on, and me and him started playing kind of together.
Okay.
Like, I talked him into getting a guitar, and...
Uh-huh.
And we would try, and then it kind of was a competition, you know, he'd learn some kind of cool thing, and then I'd be like, oh, man, but what about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then me and him and my brother started backing up. There was a local blues guy in Denton named Pops Carter.
Okay.
And he knew all the old, you know, B.B. King, Bobby Bland, Little Milton, all the stuff.
Yeah.
So we started backing him up, you know.
Yeah, that's great. So you never got the hard rock, heavy metal bug? Or it was blues.
You know, I did. I remember me and Paul weren't in the Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Sure, sure.
But anything beyond, I just realized it wasn't in the cards for me, that kind of, like, you know, fast. Yeah. I've never been super fast, you know, guitar player or whatever, but
yeah.
But I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, like Jakey Lee on that Ozzy album. It's like, man, that's so badass, but I could never do it.
Yeah. How did you and Clifford Antone cross paths?
Well, I was in a a couple bands in high school out of around Dallas. This band called the Weebads, and we were playing quite a bit around Dallas. Mm-hmm. And my dad was living in South Austin by that time. He'd moved from Kansas all the way to Austin.
Okay.
So when we were old enough to drive, which is like around 86, 87, me and Jay would drive down there in the summer and see our dad. My dad took me to Antone's, you know, hang out with your dad in the bar. And I remember Clifford was there, and my dad's like, oh, man, you got to hear my boys. They're all about blues. Like, you know, you should check them out. They're total blues guys. And I'm like shy, you know, 17-year-old kid.
Sure, sure.
Next thing I know, Clifford's like on stage the other night going, let's get this kid up here. You know, let's come on up here. And I got up, and I remember it was like a Tuesday night. Little Charlie and the Nightcats were playing.
Oh, wow.
You know, Little Charlie's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, he gave me his guitar, and then he picked up the harmonica.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a great harmonica player. Yeah. I mean, I remember just going, whoa. So, you know, I met, so at the end of that night, Clifford gave me his card and said, man, whenever you're down here, here's my card. He goes, just show us at the door and you're in.
Yeah.
So I kind of had my pass.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he was a big help. He was a great, you know, very supportive, and from that moment on. Yeah.
And so at that stage, I don't know what the difference in age between you and Jesse and Ian are, but were you crossing paths with those guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right away. Okay. You know, Ian was kind of, soon thereafter, he was kind of a regional superstar. You know, those couple early albums came out, mm-hmm. and, you know, he was a big thing around there. And I'd see him all the time, you know, Jesse too.
Uh-huh.
You know, we would all, you know, see each other hanging, and I knew him. I remember I did a little run of dates, like went all the way up to Oklahoma hanging out with some friends of mine named the Loose Diamonds. They were opening for Ian, and we all went and, you know, ran around. And it goes way back.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Fantastic. And have you ever released any solo records?
I've got a couple. There's one called Blue Galoo, and Kim sang on a couple songs, okay. And Lou Ann's on that too.
Right on.
It came out on Severn Records like 10 years ago or so.
Uh-huh.
So that's what the great thing with this Headhunters thing. It's a perfect, you know, I was talking to Jesse the other day. He's going, man, once we get going, you need to make a solo record. You know, like we'll do. So I've got material. Right. I'm ready, but yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
When you first started playing guitar, what was the guitar?
I had a K, like SG, like, it looked like a, you know, Angus Young.
Yeah.
Like a copy of that.
Okay.
And an SG, brown SG. And then I got like a Lotus Les Paul. I wish I had those still. It'd be kind of cool now. But, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
On reverb somewhere.
Yeah.
What was your first, like, you know, real guitar? Not that those aren't real.
Oh, that's a funny story. So, when I was back in Denton, and I was working at a grocery store called Piggly Wiggly.
Sure.
And a good buddy of mine, Mike Flanagan, was working at a pawn shop on the square in Denton called Glenn's Pawn Shop. It was a great music store, too.
Okay.
But they had this upstairs full of cool, old, weird, all kinds of weird stuff. I wish it was still there.
Uh-huh.
But I would go hang out there, and I met him. He had an Antone shirt on. And I'm like, oh, man, I hadn't gone there yet,
uh-huh.
You know, to visit my dad. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go there soon. And he's a little bit older than me. And he's like, oh, yeah, we were there last week. It's so cool. And so I'd go there and talk to him. And I had this crappy couple guitars I had. And he would always give me a hard time going, man, you're working that job. You need to come buy one of these. And they had the reissue Strats, you know, in the mid-80s, the first time they kind of did it.
Yeah.
And I had it was like a yellow reissue Strat, and it was cool. It was the first good, you know. And I remember him going, "Hey, you got to get a real guitar. Come on."
Oh, yeah, yeah. And have you always kind of favored Fender over Gibson or?
Not really. Okay. I mean, for maybe early on I did. But yeah, I've got like an SG, I've got a Les Paul.
Okay.
I don't like them evenly.
Yeah.
You know, I get tired of one.
Yeah. When you travel with the T-Birds, what's in the, do you have a boat?
I do. I got two I bring, and I bring a Strat and that Les Paul Special.
Okay.
So between those two, they kind of cover all the bases pretty good.
Yeah. And are you always in standard tuning?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I've played around with weird tunings, but just recording here and there, but I've never really done it, you know, touring.
Yeah.
So
when you need stuff repaired in both amps and guitars, where do you go?
There's a guy in Austin named Dick Dubois.
Okay.
Great guy. And he did a lot of guitar work for me. I got to find someone here in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a pretty long drive.
Yeah. And I got a buddy, Alberto Tello. He lives, he's an Italian guy. He's a drummer in Austin, but he works on electronics.
Okay.
So every time I need amps, I'd go to him. But I'm going to find someone for both here. So.
And do you run into Samantha Fish?
I do. You know, here and there for sure. And, you know, we went out and had a great tour a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
With her.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went out to Headhunters, our first little trip, and we went on the East Coast and did a whole, you know, week or two of shows. And it was great. Man, great. She's great. Her band's great.
Yeah. Do you bring those Firebirds with you or the
television? Yeah, I did for a while. I've got a big case, but they're awkward to carry, like, especially if we fly a lot.
Yeah.
So they're weird. I've taken them a few times. You know, I'm trying to figure a better way to take them.
Yeah, of course. So with the T-Birds, it's mostly fly dates or like fly to a central location and then.
Yeah, exactly. Like we'll fly like next week to Southern California and then drive everywhere for the week.
In a van?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. What did you say? I missed that.
I said in a van.
Oh, yeah. We'll get like a van, exactly.
Yeah. Right on. But do you stay in hotels?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Glad
you're here. Yeah, it's nice.
And are all the theaters pretty much the same size that you're playing?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That kind of, you know, mid-sized theater shows.
Yeah. Like eight to 12, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's.
We'll do festivals, you know, right now a lot. And every now and then club dates are always fun.
Sure. And it's always backline?
Oh, yeah. Almost always.
Yeah.
Except Southern California. Kim lives out there and he's got a great Vibroverb, like reissue.
Oh, right on.
So I'm looking forward to that next week. But usually it's backline.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. And do all the members like live in different places? Or
everyone. Bob Welsh, he's in kind of Northern California, Redwood City.
Okay.
And the rhythm section guys live in New Jersey and New York. So
yeah,
we're everywhere.
Yeah. So no rehearsals.
No.
Just
sound check.
Yeah. And what kind of stuff do you do for fun when you're not out there gigging?
Hang out with my dogs.
Okay. How do your dogs like the humidity? Oh, they're probably used to it.
They're French bulldogs, but they're getting used to it. You can't keep them out long in it.
Yeah. And do you ever go out like you know to the French Quarter to check out?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's right outside the door. Yeah. I live right on the edge of the French Quarter.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Right on.
So, you know, I've been playing Jazz Fest the last 3 or 4 years with Marcia Ball.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what got us here. I've you know, looking around going, we'd make a vacation of it and hang for a whole week.
Sure.
You know, and Austin's getting so busy and congested and expensive and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we were looking around going, man, I could live right here on the edge of the French Quarter. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not bad, like 6 months of the year.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And you're touring.
We're in the bad part.
You're touring the other 6 months, so it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I call my wife and she's like, oh, it's hotter.
Yeah. Right on. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Johnny. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Great talking to you.
And
I'll holler at you.
Yeah, please do.
About next week.
Yes, please do.
Yeah.
I'm right down the street, literally. Let me know if you
want.
I have three Monkees amps, and I have a Tweed Deluxe. I got a few amps if you want me to bring one by.
Hey, I'll let you know. That would be killer.
Yeah.
Cool, brother.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, later.
Later. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.